Hello and welcome to the mini-episode of The Rufus Project, your fortnightly podcast about whatever is grabbing our attention at the time. I am your host, Trevor Holland, and you will soon be hearing from my good friend, co-host, and king of cult cinema in Brisbane, Christian Fletcher. But what do we have in store for you this time around? Well, I'm going to look at the new Freeview FV app that's been made available for Australian TV. Christian celebrates 50 years of the Valley of the Dolls, and of course we'll have all the details of Christian's upcoming events, as well as more information about our next redeeming features cast. In the meantime though, sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast. Now, I know not all of our listeners will be familiar with how free-to-air TV is handled in Australia. In a word, pretty poorly. An attempt has been made to bring free-to-air into the 21st century with a service called Freeview. Until now, to access this, you had to have a Freeview box or a Freeview-enabled television that would connect to the internet. And that would provide catch-up services, but to watch actual live-to-air TV, you would still need it connected to your digital antenna so you could receive the broadcast. This week, the much-awaited app for Freeview has been released for Android devices and for Apple devices. So I thought, why not take it through its paces and let you guys know about it? Okay, so this will be an Android-based review. I believe the Apple one is very similar with some slight differences, but differences that could make a big difference, but I will get to that, don't you worry. First up, when you load the app up, it's pretty straightforward. You get a list of the available live channels, and you can scroll through the list. It gives you a picture preview of what is currently playing, but very unhelpfully doesn't actually include what the program actually is unless you press on it, which launches the video player whether you want to start watching it or not. Yeah, it would be nice to know what I'm pressing on before it starts playing because I may not want to be exposed to some random thing. Anyway, cycling through these channels on my device. Now, as I was cycling through the channels, the live channels on my device, the video screen opened quite promptly. The app itself is forced into portrait mode until the video of the live stream starts playing, and then you can switch your phone or tablet around and put it into landscape mode. Seems a bit silly that you couldn't do that from the outset, but hey, small steps, I guess. They're finally trying to get up to date, so yeah. Now, the first fun thing you're going to come across is if you decide to watch one of the Channel 9 digital channels, it won't play. Trying to watch anything from any of the Channel 9 stuff actually puts you out of the app and says that you need to install the 9 Now app separately. I haven't installed the 9 Now app because I don't want to give them my personal details. You have to register to use the app. And before everything you watch, they also have advertising pre-rolls. So, yeah. Having to go outside of the app to watch specific channels is a first big thumbs down. In my particular case, as an added bonus, I actually live in a valley, so a number of free-to-air channels don't get received well in my house, making most free-to-air TV on my TV pretty pointless. So I thought, well, hey, maybe this would be a good workaround. Well, it would be, except there's no Chromecast support. What the ever-loving f***, guys? The Apple version apparently does have AirPlay built in, so yay them. Of course, you can mirror your screen via the Chromecast, but the quality, let's face it, is pretty substandard. Mind you, the quality even on my phone wasn't the best, so yep, Chromecast support is a must if this is actually going to be in any way useful to the majority of Android users. Now, the problem I mentioned earlier with regards to Channel 9 needing its app to view its live TV, well, when you go to the catch-up side of things, and it gives you a list of programs you can watch from catch-up, it then takes you to a screen telling you about it, and then tells you what app you can watch it on. It isn't even clear as to where you can press. One bit takes you to the installation of the app. For example, ABC iView, which I did already have installed. I press one thing, and it takes me just to the general main screen of the iView app. That's handy. You can press elsewhere, though, and it will take you to the specific program. But all the catch-up services, none of it is in-app with the Freeview app. Every single one you need to install the app of the actual TV network, which, again, is not really something I want to do. Most of the TV apps in Australia are, to put it frankly, pretty crap with very, very bad quality. So to have a substandard app which claims to give you all your TV in one place that then makes you exit out to connect to separate apps that in some cases the video quality is even worse and it's an even worse viewing experience. So yeah, look, it's perfectly safe to say the Freeview app doesn't do what's advertised in the app description. Thankfully, it's a free app. The need to go to external apps to even watch some of the live TV is unacceptable, and also no Chromecast support is also pretty poor. But here's the final clincher I noticed, and I use this over a very brief space of time. There are some programs, even on the live TV section, that you cannot watch through the Freeview app. Obviously, this is due to probably licensing restrictions with regards to who can show this material online. It could be something which has been tied up with Netflix or Foxtel for online streaming purposes. Now, there weren't too many sports events happening when I was checking this out, but there was like a cricket one, and that too was blocked from within the app. So obviously the whole issue with online streaming and licensing agreements is still a big problem, even though you're meant to be able to just watch live TV through this Freeview app. So, should you install Freeview on your Android device or even your Apple device? Hell no. It's poorly implemented, poorly designed, and doesn't do anywhere near what it promises to do. And the fact that it relies on separate apps outside its own experience is just like, well, why not just make one glorified TV app launcher? I wouldn't even say nice first try. They should rip this up and try again.
You've got to climb Mount Everest to reach the Valley of the Dolls. So started the 1967 movie adaptation of a controversial book. Who was to know that 50 years later, it was to go on to be a camp cult classic and still be talked about as one of the most influential and best-selling books of all time. We're looking at 50 years of Jacqueline Suzanne's novel, Valley of the Dolls. Gotta get up, gotta get, have to get. I'll leave it to Dionne Warwick to finish the song. The theme from Valley of the Dolls became a big hit in 1967, following the release of the book. But if we were to go back, say, about a year and a half, this is when the story all began. The best-selling fiction book of 1966, Valley of the Dolls has sold more than 30 million copies, making it one of the best-selling books of all time. Did you know it took the number one spot on the New York Times bestseller list for 28 weeks? Deemed sensational and crude at the time of its release, Valley of the Dolls deals with the sordid lives of three young women seeking fame and fortune in New York City. The author Jacqueline Suzanne, who had a bit of a history with Hollywood, based the vicious characters and the outrageous scenarios on some of her own experiences in show business. Not even 2 years from the book's release, and already a trashy motion picture had been mounted. 20th Century Fox took a gamble with the film, and although it's regarded now as one of the worst movies of all time and quite kitsch and camp, it is definitely a time capsule of a certain particular point in time. A lot of what we see now as sort of references to the late 60s in terms of looks and feels and that whole kitsch aesthetic, it very much has started with films like Valley of the Dolls. It's very much given us for those of us who weren't around then, it gives us sort of a bit of an insight into what possibly we were wearing around in that time. The book was actually set in the 40s, so I think it was actually a really good decision to actually set it in the 60s to make it more contemporary. And as I said, it went on to influence so many styles. It really became somewhat of a late 60s blueprint for especially looks in movies. Now, the Valley of the Dolls movie was considered equally shocking, even though a lot of controversial things were left out of the movie. Of course, when you've got a book that's quite long and a two-hour movie, of course, they're going to take some liberties. It was felt that some of the character development didn't actually work because in the film there was more relationships that weren't sort of developed in the movie, but the elements that were and the scenes that were definitely became something of camp history. Jacqueline Suzanne was inspired by such performers as Betty Hutton and Judy Garland and Ethel Merman. Judy Garland actually was originally supposed to play the role of Helen Lawson, which was played by Suzanne Heywood. Judy Garland actually has some screen tests which survived to this day but didn't actually end up coming through. I think it would have been very much life imitating art or vice versa. Unfortunately, Sharon Tate, wife of at the time of Roman Polanski, was murdered a few months after the release of the film. So it was really, it's quite sad seeing her in the film because you could see sort of the developments that she was having and possibly what a great actress she was going to be coming into the 70s. But so, and I don't know if it's quite distasteful, but in Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, the sequel to Valley of the Dolls from Fox, one of the characters actually wears the dress that Sharon Tate wears in Valley of the Dolls. So it's kind of a bit more creepy. In the early days of first discovering Valley of the Dolls and these sort of cult classics, I came across these cosmopolitan chic parties that were happening in New York. With a bowl of jelly beans, people would meet and have a screening of Valley of the Dolls. When pill popping would happen in the film, audience members would do the same. I kind of took this idea and ran with it. In 2005, I launched interactive screenings of Valley of the Dolls. Every time the word pill or doll is mentioned, or any time the character pops a pill, the audience must eat a jelly bean. This is an hilarious twist on the 1967 cult film, and you can't experience the film like this anywhere else in the world. I've ramped it up definitely this time. This time we will have lighting and applause signs and encouraging more people to boo and things like that. So please dress up for our 60s afternoon. We have 60s go-go dances, pre-show music, and of course a screening of the 1967 film Valley of the Dolls. Just follow the prompts and be prepared to enter Jacqueline Suzanne's world of booze, affairs and show business. I'm even giving away a prize for the best 60s outfit. Tickets are already selling fast for this, so please get onto christianfletcher.com and get your tickets for the 26th of November Valley of the Dolls screening. Gotta get off, gonna get, have to get off from this rock. Oh gosh, it must be the end of the year when the Christian Fletcher events start running out. Now's your chance to catch the last events for 2016, and they don't hold back. This year we've launched Comedy Commentary Cinema, which sees comedians do an hilarious live commentary over a trash movie. This time, on the 16th of November, it's the 1987 aerobics-themed trash slasher killer workout, backed by popular demand, believe it or not. It's kicking off at 7 p.m. Tickets are $10 per person for this, and we only have limited seating, so I definitely recommend getting in and booking for that. We will definitely be back with Comedy Commentary Cinema in 2017. As mentioned earlier, we're celebrating 50 years of the book Valley of the Dolls with a screening of the 1967 cult movie classic. This is the 26th of November at New Farm Cinemas at 4 p.m. Tickets are $19, and hey, it includes a free packet of jelly beans to participate with the movie. Tommy Wiseau's The Room, the Citizen Kane of bad movies. It has to be experienced with an audience. And hey, this could be one of the last chances you've got to see the movie. On Friday the 2nd of December at 6:30 p.m, New Globe Theatre, see this movie where audiences yell things out at the screen, throw spoons, toss footballs. Honestly, you've never seen anything like it since the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Tickets are selling fast for that and are available through my website. You know I love a video party. So this Christmas, we're doing a retro video party, which is going from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s to 90s. Yes, hour and a half dedicated to each era, and tickets are $10 per person, or bring a group of four for $30. Dance the night away with 6 hours of iconic music videos on the big screen. With a licensed bar, this is the great way to end the year. For more details about my events, visit christianfletcher.com or find Christian Fletcher Events on Facebook. There will be many more events happening in the new year, and I look forward to telling you here first.
Thank you so much for listening to The Rufus Project. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed putting it together, and we would love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us by heading to our homepage, rufusproject.com, and leaving a comment below this very episode. You can also find The Rufus Project on Twitter or Facebook really, really easily, or send us an email to podcast@rufusproject.com. If you're getting us through iTunes or another podcast service, why not leave a review on that service, because that will help us out immensely as well. And you should definitely subscribe to one of those podcast services, because next week we are going to be back with the infamous Redeeming Features cast. This time, at Christian's suggestion, we're checking out the Tim Burton reboot of Planet of the Apes from 2001. Here is a little taste of what we've subjected ourselves to.
One day they'll tell a story, and some will say it was just a fairy tale about a human who came from the stars and changed our world.
Freedom is history.
Where am I? What is this place?
Get them out! And get them clean!
Brutality is law.
Rise when your master enters.
The powerful rule by fear.
Next you'll be telling us these beasts have a soul.
Is there a soul in there?
Don't worry, we won't monkey around letting you know if we think this movie is redeemable. Yes, that joke hurt me too. Now, if you want to watch Planet of the Apes before our next Redeeming Features cast, it is available on Netflix, which is always very, very handy. Or you can rent or buy it through the Microsoft Store, Google Play, or Dendy Direct. Now, believe it or not, we are heading to the end of Season 3 of The Rufus Project. We've only got a few episodes left, and then we will be wrapping up for the year. It won't be the last Rufus Project you hear. We will, of course, be planning our Irredeemable Christmas special in the near future. That's always fun. And we're going to keep What the History rolling, the other Rufus Project podcast, over the break as well. Now, the moral of this episode of the podcast is, if you are promising to have everything in one place, in one app, don't make people launch other apps to use it. That's just dumb. See you next time.